Good morning. Welcome to everybody on this bright, beautiful, warm, sunny spring day. Gloomy outside, Sandy, but it can be bright and cheery in here. So let's make it that way with some good singing. Favorite gospel songs, we call it the Gray Book. Start with number 82. You'll pick up on the thing of the songs really quickly. Heaven's Jubilee is what we'll start with. 82. Some voices in fetter this morning. That'll be a good day. Be a great day coming. So let's sing about that. 270. There's a great day coming for those that love the Lord. Get the meaning of the song now. Just don't let it buy you.
Brother Sam, Miss Rachel, thank you so much for the good playing and singing, for the good singing this morning. I'm glad to hear the good singing of each and every one of you this morning. Just appreciate everybody just coming in and filling the house full of the music of the Lord is what I'm glad that you're doing today. The last song said, "Are you ready?" Paula's aunt passed away this week. This is her last aunt, but Miss Wilma, as I always called her, Sister Wilma, she was always a favorite of mine, I'll have to say, because she was one of those people that she was always telling you, first of all, and like the preacher said yesterday, "Honey, I love you." She said that to everybody is what she did. But she was also the type of lady that would want to talk to you about the Lord. She was always telling you that she was praying for you. She would always talk to you about to the lost about being saved. And those people are precious in my mind is what they are. And that is something that we all should strive to be. It is one of those kind of people that will talk to people about the Lord, telling them that we love them, telling them that we need to, that they need to be saved. And when we're telling them that they need to be saved, tell them we love them, and that's why we're telling them that. You see, because it's important for everybody to get saved. A lot of the world today doesn't realize how important it is for them to get saved. Amen. They don't realize it. They think, well, it's not going to matter. Everybody else has got their gods, and it's probably going to be okay eventually with them. God will recognize them just because that they are sincere or because they have followed this God. But the Bible says, except that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you shall in no wise enter into his kingdom. So they need to keep that in mind. Because if they believe in something else, or if somebody else believes in something else, or if somebody thinks that, well, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, and that should be enough. Well, I want you to understand it's a little bit more than just thinking it or just saying you believe it. You all know there's a difference between thinking something and really, truly believing it, don't you? You know, things goes on in Washington, D.C., and I'm going to be honest with you, with what I hear out of there, sometimes it's hard for me to believe what I hear. I can hear it, and I believe what they say, but it's hard for me to really believe it. You see, that's the way a lot of people are about Jesus. It's really hard to believe that he loved them so much that he'd be willing to die for their sin. To really believe it. Now, I like to say it this way because it's Jesus says, except you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body. Now, you tell me what he left out right there. That's every part of a being of a person. So, that's the difference right there. It's good to see everybody out today. We're going to get right on with our service today. I'm going to be doing children's church today. So kids, every one of you come up to this side over here today. All the kids come right over here. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I need some big kids too. I'll take Brother James, Brother Stewart. I'll take the big kids over here too is what I'd take. So. Okay, yeah, it's your birthday, right? That's good, it's your birthday. Good morning, everybody. Good to see y'all today. I want to ask you a question. Do you have a favorite story in the Bible? Ben, I'm going to pick on you. Do you have a favorite story in the Bible? one that you like better than anything else? No, like David and Goliath, or Noah and the flood, or maybe Daniel in the lion's den? You have a favorite one? Oh, come on now. Anybody out here? Daniel in the lion's den. Go ahead. Jesus' birth, that's a good story. Go ahead, Andy. Jesus and his birth, too. Those are good stories, aren't they? Probably your parents have told you these stories since you was little bitty. And we've been telling them to you, right? It's important for us to hear these stories. You know, how do you get a story like that most of the time? Well, we get them out of the Bible, don't we? But a lot of times, before the Bible was written down, you know what people did? They told that story. It's what they did. You know, people, they have stories that they tell, but the ones out of the Bible are very precious because they talk about the power of God. Sometimes it's even the vengeance of God upon sin, like Noah and the flood. That's why God destroyed the world, because the people of the world had gotten so evil at that time. But in the case of like Daniel and David and Goliath, what did that show? That showed the faith of David and God's power to take somebody like y'all that are small and to take one little stone and to throw it at a big giant and to knock him down. That showed God's power. What about David and Daniel? I'm getting them all mixed up this morning, aren't I? What about Daniel in the lion's den? What did that show? It showed how God could even stop the greatest beast in the world. The lion is the king of beasts, right? But he's nothing compared to God, is he? You see, these stories were passed down to us, sometimes by word of mouth, from different people, so that they could tell us about God. Now, who in here thinks that you're a good storyteller? Nobody wants to pick up one? I think some of you are good storytellers. And if you will tell the stories that you hear in the Bible, I tell you what, you may win somebody over to believing in God. You can win them over. So just tell them. Now, let's see, I've got 1, 2, 3 here that are saved. How often do you tell somebody your story about how you got saved? Hey, that's another great story, isn't it? I like to tell the story about me getting saved. So tell your story every time you can, whether it's one like the ones out of the Bible or your story about when you got saved. Tell your story. While we're done, I'll let you go back now, okay? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. We enjoy doing the children's church, and it's good for the kids. We get a little one-on-one, well, maybe not one-on-one time, but a little personal time with our little ones, and that's always a good thing for us to enjoy and for them to enjoy. And I appreciate them coming up to be with us each and every time they come up to be with us in children's church. We're going to get on with our service today. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart this morning before we go to the Lord in prayer? We do need to continue to remember Brother Slick and Sister Barbara. Brother Slick's supposed to have surgery this week also. Brother James is having some surgery this week. There's others that are having some problems this week, so we need to keep all of these on our hearts as far as this sickness is concerned, and let's just pray that the Lord will bless and his will be done in these things. Anybody else got a prayer request on your heart? I do need, go ahead, Brother John. Yes, sir. Yes, we do. Let's do remember this man in our prayers, as well as Nathan and his cancer battle too. We'll mention him also. Somebody else? I'll mention this, Brother Tim Vantries messaged me last night, and his mother was put in a hospital over at Summit, I believe it is. And we need to remember her. She's been sick now for several weeks, and now they put her in the hospital. So do remember her in your prayers also. Anybody else have a prayer request on your heart? Yes. Oh, did you? Is he still in the hospital? Oh, okay. Let's do remember this in our prayers also. Somebody else? Let's don't forget to pray for those in our church that are lost, that needs to get saved. These that are sick physically, that is bad. I do believe it's bad. But those that are sin sick are the worst, are in the worst shape. They need to be saved more than anybody else. So let's do remember them. If there's no other prayer request, Brother Timothy, will you start a prayer, please?
I failed in my preliminary remarks to welcome the visitors. Thank you for being our special guest today. We appreciate you being here. Thank you for taking part in the singing. Let's continue our songs about heaven. And 232 is an old number. We haven't done this in a while that I remember, but I saw this. And this is on the lineup. 232, I'm Song Sick for Heaven.
Thank you.
heard that one all my life, preacher. All right. We'll do one more. Number in this book, we had a request to sing a song that's in another one, but for right now, turn to 144. 144. Eyes have not seen. We had a request to do a song that's in the yellow book, so look among your pews right there. Should be some yellow books about. If you need one, raise your hand, we'll get this, but this is a song we all should know by heart. Number three, How Great Thou Art.
I
piece of yellow book right there.
Good morning,
everybody. Glad to see everybody here. I have to say that third verse is my favorite of that whole song. I like all of them. But in case you didn't pay attention to that third verse while you singing, you know, a lot of times we sing songs and we just sing the words. We don't pay attention to it. But take a good look at this, or listen to this third verse. And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden, he gladly bearing. He bled and died to take away my sin. Do you see why that's my favorite verse? Out of that, that's the only way we all got saved, right there. And so I'm just thankful that God didn't spare his Son. I'm thankful for that this morning. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart before we go any further in the service? We appreciate the good singing this morning. Appreciate the good number today. We're down a little bit. I can see some different families that are out, and I miss them today. And I pray that they're okay. They're not sick or anything like that. We just hope and pray that they just, for some minor reason, they're not able to be here today. We are glad to see each and every one of you. Glad to have our visitors with us today, and we hope that you will make yourself right at home with us today in this service. If nobody has a word of testimony or anything on your heart, I'm going to take my reading lesson today from the third chapter of the book of Genesis. The third chapter of the book of Genesis. I was sitting in a service the other night, and the preacher used a portion of this, and I started getting some thoughts that I'd never thought about before on these verses. And Lord said, this is your message. Now, we'll see how it turns out and how big a mess I'll make out of it. If it's something that blesses your soul today, you thank the good Lord for it. If I make a mess out of it, you can just blame me, is what you can do. But we're going to start a reading lesson today. This is the chapter where that Adam and Eve had basically they sinned, brought sin into the world for the first time, but they ate of the fruit and they had hid themselves. And then God came down to talk with them, and he found them, and they knew that they were naked, and they all played the blame game. Basically, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. God blamed them all. You ever thought about that? God blamed them all. He cursed the serpent, didn't he? Now, I'm not going to get in to the part about the serpent, but we're going to start looking at verse 16. And it says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception. And he says, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. That's stopping our reading lesson. That's reading verses 16 through 19 of the third chapter of the book of Genesis tonight. Today for our reading lesson, our thought, we're seeing the curses that God put upon man after they had transgressed the law of God. I'm going to stay particularly upon that towards the man. And when I'm going to be saying man today, I want you to think about mankind. Because really and truly, that's what it had to do with. Both of these curses went upon man and women. Especially, I want us to pay attention today, if Lord be our help, we're going to try to bring out some things about these curses today for man and for women today in this. I want us to take a look at it in a spiritual meaning today. You know, I have a tendency, I believe every scripture, it usually has at least two meanings. It had a physical meaning. In this case, Adam was cursed that he'd have to work the rest of his life for it to provide for his family. And that is what the scripture teaches us, gentlemen, that we are to do. We're to provide for our families and to provide for them the very best that we can. But it was not going to be easy. As I've heard it said over the years, in the Garden of Eden, I believe all that Adam and Eve had to do was to walk out into the garden, and maybe there was a wheat field there, and they could take of the grain of it, and they could eat, and it nourished their bodies. There was apple trees and fig trees. There was probably peach trees. I'll go that far. I don't know what other kinds of trees there were in the Garden of Eden, but everything that they needed, all they had to do was walk up to it, take a hold of it, take it, and eat. But now the curse was different. You see, in our reading lesson, that man, God said, by the sweat of thy brow thou shalt eat thy bread. Now, I want us to look at this on a spiritual term today. I want us to think about working in the Lord's work, in the Lord's church today. How many of us today is kind of have it in our minds, after that I am saved, I'm done. I don't have to do anything else. Maybe we bear children, and when our children get to the age of accountability, oh my goodness, I need to make sure they're in church where that they can get the same salvation that I do. And then there is a lot of people that after that point in time, maybe their children get saved. They say, well, I'm done. My family is saved, and I don't have to worry about it anymore. Is that the way that we as God's people are supposed to be? That's not the way we're supposed to be, is it? Sometimes I feel like that I preach to the church way too much. But God has a reason for us to pay attention to certain things. You see, by the sweat of our brows, we will eat our bread. And in this case, I want you to think about spiritual bread. You remember how that Paul said, I believe it's in the book of Corinthians, where he's told them that they were eating the milk of the word. They started out on the milk. Every one of us that got saved, after that we got saved, we would hear the preaching of God's word, and we would just listen to it, and it would start to help us grow. And there would be portions of it, we'd just kind of scratch our heads about it, and we would just say, well, I don't hardly understand those things. But as time went on, you would hear it again, and it would start to ring in our ears, and it would just bless us, wouldn't it? It would lift up our hearts. I'm going to back up to the song, How Great Thou Art. Do you know how many times I ever heard that song before that I ever really paid attention to that third verse? A bunch. I heard it a lot of times, and I really didn't comprehend that third verse. But the scripture tells us we start out on the milk of the Word of God, but what Paul told them, he said, I want you to get into the meat of the Word. Now, the word meat there actually is talking about actual hard food is what it's talking about. And when I mean food, I'm not talking about steak or maybe ribs or something like that. I'm talking about bread. I'm talking about potatoes, the vegetables, and all of those things which are nutritious to us that we can grow in the Spirit of God, that we can grow in His Word. But does it come naturally to us? It wasn't like it was in the Garden of Eden, was it? When they could just reach out and they could pull an apple and eat it, after that, they had to do it by the sweat of their brow, is what it says. Adam was to go out and he was to till the ground. He was to plow it up and to sow the seeds. He was to work the trees that were around him. He was to plant the seeds that were there. He was to move them from one place to another where that they could grow in the ways that he needed to provide for his family is what they were doing. You see, we as God's people today, we are to work the ground. The Bible tells us to till up the ground, to work it up to where that it will bring forth fruits. Now, the scripture tells us, first of all, that for 6 days we are to labor, right? That is the physical law of God that you'll find in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. But my friends, today, what the Lord said in the 4th chapter of the book of John, and I'm trying to get there so I can bring this verse exactly to you. After the Samaritan woman had gotten saved, and she went back into the city saying, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. The Lord is talking to the disciples in the time between when she had left and when they would come back. He said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already for harvest, is what he said. Now, what we understand today, a lot of times, like I said, in our hearts and in our minds, especially as young converts, I'm saved, I'm ready. I don't have to worry about being saved anymore. It's going to be there forevermore. But we are to look around at the ones that we love. We should look, we'll say, first of all, in our younger years, we should look at our classmates. Do you have a favorite friend? I did when I was growing up. And I had friends that knew the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, those that didn't know the Lord, I didn't really think about them at that time. But we as children of God, we are to look upon the fields today. When Adam went into that field to work, he had to till the ground. Today, as a child of God, we are to work the ground about us. We are to work with the people that are about us, telling them about God's love, telling them that He will save them, telling them the true way of the plan of salvation today. Not to be looking at some idol that's out there, not to be looking at some preacher out there, or even a particular church that might give them salvation, but to look to God and God alone. We are to sow a greater seed. Now, how do we sow in that seed? We're getting ready for the harvest, so we've got a field that is ready. Notice it says, not ready, but already for harvest, is what Jesus told the disciples. I'm of the opinion today the fields about us are already for harvest right now. But there needs to be some work done in that day. First of all, I want to take you back to Genesis, and I want you to look at the curse that God put upon Adam in that day. He said, there'll be thorns and thistles that will be in your way. I tell you what, I've been in fields, and there was them old stigmatites. There was them old bull nettles that when I was running around barefooted, and them little needles were sharp. There was an old thorny type of weed that would come up in the fields, and you need to pull it up, and all you'd get was thorns in your hand, but you didn't want to leave it in the field because next year you'd have 100 of them. The thorns and thistles are about us today, aren't they? What are our thorns and our thistles that are about us today in our lives? Well, a lot of times for us older ones, it's a job. For the kids, it's sports. For other people, it's trying to do this or that thing. It might be fishing. It might be golf. It might be doing some kind of ball in that way. But the idea here is today is for us to remember that God has a field for us to work. I'm going to use myself as an example today. And the example is not to build me up especially. I'm going to break myself down, to be honest with you. Years ago, when I was just a young man, there was a club that came into Smith County. A lot of my friends got into that club, and they did a lot of good work. They did a lot of good work. And we had about four or five preachers that were in that club. And we did a lot of good things spiritually as preachers in that club for that club. But one day they asked me, they said, will you take care of this project? And I took care of it. I did. I took it on. I was the chairman of the project, and our revival was coming up, and I had a friend that was lost, and I wanted him to get saved. I'd see him every weekend. He had told me he had been saved, and I wanted to invite him to church. And you know what I did? It was the week before our revival that project really hit ground. I forgot about Brian is what I did. I forgot about him. And I got into that project, and I was doing this thing and that. That was a thorn that was there. You remember Paul said he had a thorn of the in him? My friends, he had something about him that was a thorn for him that kept him humble is basically what it did. But my friends, thorns and thistles are something that gets in the way of doing the work of God. They get in the way of a good flow of fruit coming out of the ground. These thorns and thistles, they'll take over if you don't look out. Now, I think those thistles were weeds, be honest. If you've ever tried to grow anything at all, and I'll say especially outside, you have a little bit better look if you've got a potted flower. But if you don't watch, there'll be a piece of grass that'll come up in it. And the next thing you know, there'll be more than one. And the next thing you know, your flour or whatever's in that pot, it'll start to dwindle down. It will not produce like you want it to do. Well, the thing about it is a weed or something like that will choke it down. In our lives today, we've got plenty of weeds out there. But the idea is for us to work the ground. It is for us, by the sweat of our brows, to bring forth fruit unto the Lord. Now, if you go and look at the 13th chapter of the book of Luke, I want you to listen to this parable here today. He says in the sixth verse, Jesus doing the speaking, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Now, first of all, he's not talking about a sinner here. He's not talking about somebody lost. He says he came to him and he was expecting fruit out of this one little tree. Now, years ago, when Paul and I first got married, we went by a store and they had some peach trees and apple trees there. And I thought, boy, that'd be good to have peaches in my yard. I planted a peach tree and two apple trees. Do you know how many apples I got off those trees over the years? One of them never got this high. It wouldn't grow. Why wouldn't it? I didn't work it. The peach tree froze out the first year. You see, we have a word in our hearts that can help individuals. You might say, well, I'm not good with speech. I want you to listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. Because in the church of Corinth, they had a dispute over who was greater, Paul, or was it the other guy? Now, in this case, he said, I planted, but he watered. We as people of God, our words are planting seeds. Our seeds are going into the ground. But if you've ever planted a seed and walked off and left it, especially during a dry time, it will not come up. And if you do give it enough water where it comes up, if you do not work around it, it may not bring any fruit. I grew potatoes. My mother and daddy grew potatoes a lot. That was part of being country. You planted the potatoes every year. If the weather hit just right, you would get the prettiest, nicest potatoes. But some years, those potatoes was only about a little bit bigger than a marble. And I like to see anybody try to peel them to eat. The idea I want you to understand, when you're putting your seed in there, somebody else will come along and water. But what Paul said, it is God that gives the increase. When this man went into his garden, he said a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereof and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit of the fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cometh it the ground? That's a little bit harsh, isn't it? Is that not harsh? To have a tree that is, we'll say, probably beautiful to look upon, to look and to see, well, it looks like it would be a good fig tree. but yet there's no fruit on it. What good is it? You see, Adam and Eve, they brought sin into the world through their sin. Now their curse was to work. For us, it's not a curse for us to work. It should be a privilege. It should be a privilege for us to work for the Lord. When I say a privilege, as I was young, and my mother and daddy would make me go into the fields with them, I'm going to be honest with you, I hated every minute of it. There was a time when I was about 18 years old, I told my mother and daddy there was no way I was going to ever try to farm again. Truthfully, I heard them when I did. I seen it in their faces. But boy, I wished I had the opportunity to work alongside them now. I wished I had that privilege. You see, it's a privilege to work in the field of God. In one of the other parables, the parable of the sower, he said sometimes the seed falls outside and the birds get it. Sometimes it falls on rocky ground and it may sprout up just a little bit, but when the heat and the dryness of the time comes, it withers away. You know what my daddy had me do? We went to the field and we picked up the rocks and carried them out. We did, and I hated picking up rocks, I'll be honest with you. But we picked them up where the plants would have a chance. Then he said, then it fell on good ground. Well, back up. We went through the weedy ground earlier. It went to the weedy ground. And it was choked out in time. But then that which came forth and brought forth plentiful. Some 10, some 20, some even 30-fold. Fold means times. 10 times as much as what he had put out. I talked to a farmer friend of mine the other day. He put out a crop of corn the other day, this past year, and he said, it didn't even pay for the fertilizer because of the drought. Are you working the ground? Are you planting the seed? Are you watering? Are you praying that God gives the increase? Some of you remember what it's like to be on a farm. And when those times when it got dry like it did last year, you did some praying. Are we in a drought here now? Not a rain, are we? That's for sure. How long's it been since you saw somebody saved? My opinion, it's been way too long. Are we working the ground? Are we planting the seed? Are we planting right seed? Are we moving it, removing the rocks out of their way? Are we pulling the weeds out? Are we throwing the rocks out of the way? Or are we just saying, Lord, here's the field. You give me something to eat. You know what my favorite food is spiritually? It's seeing somebody saved. My second favorite food spiritually is hearing somebody talk about being saved. My other one is watching a church work to see people saved. Back up from one more scripture and I'll hush, Brother Sam. When Moses and them got out there in the wilderness, that was a rough place, wasn't it? Basically, it's desert. They didn't have any food. They didn't have anything to eat. They started crying out to God, God, give us manna. Give us something to eat. And he gave them manna. You know, for the longest time in my growing up, I, like I said, when I was young, I was still on the milk and I didn't understand. I thought there was loaves of bread out there that all they had to do was go out there and pick it up and eat it. Oh, there was more to it than that. From my understanding, that manna was about like a flake of oatmeal. You think about that. It was covered, it was like a big frost on the ground, but they had to go out there and get it. Do you want spiritual food bad enough to go out and collect it? You know what they had to do after that? They had to grind it. They had to work it. And then they had to put it in the dough, make the dough out of it. And then they put it in the oven. That's where the Lord comes in. It's not a curse for us to work for God. But how many of us kind of look at, oh, Lord, I really don't want to do that. It's not a curse. It is a privilege, is what it is. Brother Sam, that's my message. It's why we stand and sing. If you're here today and you're lost and away from God, today is the best day of all that you could be saved. Today is the best day. And I don't want it just for me. I want it for you more than anything else. These altars are always open for you to come and seek the Lord while we stand and sing.
103, back in the gray book, 103.